Thank you, Harley, for sharing doing that and for the prayer as well. Grateful for that. This morning, you can turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter 3. And I've entitled this, The Importance of Trust. And as I go through this, you'll probably, again, your mind might, you might think that I'm we're on this thrift store kick and that I'm still on this bandwagon and all that, and that was not my intent. Didn't even think about it till as I thought about the subject and talking, studying through it, and it's like, well, there it is. It fits, and so I'm going to... whatever fits, I'm going to say. But it's not my goal to be on this kick. And what I say is not that I am promoting it to the point that regardless of what happens, we need to do this. I'm not wanting to do that. I believe I am where the rest of you are. That as God leads, we're going to move. And I think that's the right thing to do. But anyway, the importance of trust. As we, maybe first I should read this scripture. I will read the whole chapter, 17 verses, and then there's a few verses that finish out in chapter 4. The story, again, of Joshua and the children of Israel preparing to cross over the River Jordan. And it begins with, there were two spies Joshua sent out and to Jericho, and they just returned and gave their report. And so now this is where they start on their journey to cross the Jordan River. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and a priest, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way before, heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant, and pass over before the people. And they took the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passes over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord, and the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. It shall come to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as they that bear the Ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the Ark were dipped into the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city of Adam, that is beside Zaratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Then go to chapter 4, starting with verse 15. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they come up out of Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, Come ye up out of Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up unto the dry land, that the waters of the Jordan returned unto their place and flowed over all his banks as they did before. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal, and in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Very interesting story, an account of, and if you like history, then it's probably more interesting to you as well. But all the journeys of the children of Israel as they journeyed from Egypt and on their way to the Canaan land, it's interesting to note that journey. I'm sure they were, as you know, as you read that account, they were discouraged, they were sad, they were complaining many, many times. It was a hard 40 years that it took them to go finally get to this place to where they're going to cross, where God had originally and initially, this was his plan, that they would cross into this land of Jordan, that he told Abraham many years before that this is what he's going to do. But because of the people's unbelief, because of people being people. And as I look at that, if you and I would have been there with them, we would have just been like them. I'm convinced of that. And as I look at people today, we're not in the wilderness as such. Maybe we are sometimes. It appears like, feels like the wilderness. But in our journey of life, it's not that much different than what they faced. They were going from one place to another. We are going one place to another. All of us have come from somewhere. Most of us have. There are a few originals here in the audience. Townsend, he's been around forever here in South Carolina. But for the majority of us, we've traveled from somewhere. And so as you, it takes trust in God to make a big move. For a person, for a couple of parents to move their family from one place to another, it's not as easy as it looks. Sometimes the idea of moving is exciting and it's adventurous. But I always, as a young boy growing up, I thought, I wish we would move. I wish we would go somewhere. I'd like to explore a new house, a new area. But we just stayed put. We just right the same old place. And it was okay. But until we got married. And then I guess I got to fulfill my dream. We moved 7 times in the first 2 years, 3 years, something like that. Anyway. And so it's a big undertaking to do that. And so there's a lot of things that enter into that picture. And what... and how you go about that, and how it's all going to work out. You don't know that. There's a lot of uncertainty in that. And there's uncertainty in our lives. There's nothing that's really certain about, except the fact that one day we're going to die. That is for certain. But when it comes to man human elements. Everything is pretty much uncertain. When it comes to God, we can rest in the fact and trust in Him that things are certain with God. We don't have to doubt that. But we have to, as we go through life, we learn some of these things that, looking back on life, and when you get older, you can see the faithfulness of God and how trusting in God was the right thing to do. He brought us through. He protected us. He kept us. And He led us, just as He did the children of Israel that we read about today. The verse I want to zero in on is verse 4, the last phrase. For you have not passed this way heretofore. Or you haven't gone this way before. How many of you can say you have gone this way before? None of us can. We're still going. We haven't been to the end yet, so we can't say that we have gone that way. So there's a lot of uncertainties that come our way, just as it did the children of Israel. Moses was their leader for many years. They had to learn to trust him in as he was a spokesman between God and the people. They had to learn to trust him, and God gave him many opportunities to do great things and miracles that would give confidence to the people that, yes, what Moses says is right. That's what God said, so we need to obey. And many, many times they said, whatever you say, whatever God says, we will do that. But we also know there are many, many times that they didn't do that. They did exactly the opposite. The people here at the same time here with Joshua, if you go back to the first chapter, forget what verse it is here. The people, verse 16, and they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. And God told Joshua several times in this chapter that I am going to do great things through you to promote you, that the people will trust you and they will believe you and they will follow you. In this account, Israel faced an unknown situation. They had never had to cross, I'm supposing they had never crossed this Jordan River. It's interesting in my studies what people said, that really this river in general was not anything that would have taken a miracle to cross over. It was approximately 20 yards, I think, so 60 feet wide. And it should have been easily, you could have forded it very easily. But God chose, for some reason, He chose this time of the year. When the snows are melting from Mount Hermon, I believe it was, and they're flowing down, and the rivers, it's all collecting, and it's just going over its banks. The bodies of water above, the lakes, so on, couldn't contain all the water. And it's also believed that it talks about the city of Adam, and they don't really know where that is. But it's possible that maybe God had a landslide, because it's happened, I think it was after that, and then again in 1927, I think it was recorded, that there was a landslide and actually dammed up the river, on up the river, about the place where they think they crossed. So, is that what happened? Did God bring a landslide? I don't know. He could have. If He did, that's fine. But it still took a miracle. That doesn't diminish the fact that there was a miracle that had happened. But it sounds like this actual heaping of the water happened 16 to 20 miles upstream. As it's all new to me, but it makes sense. And that's where the water stopped. And it says, then it dried up. The river, the rest of the water flowed down to the Dead Sea and went. And then the water dried up. Then He also tells them that there's supposed to be 2,000 cubits between the ark, where it is in when the priests carry it into the middle of the river, between them, and that's as close as they're supposed to get. And so that's approximately 3/4 of a mile, from what I understand. So I'm thinking, that's a long ways. Depending where you're at, you couldn't see the ark from where you were crossing. But this, they're crossing down away from where the ark is. It just changes the picture, at least to me, a little bit. I pictured the ark. They walked in. The water stopped. It heaped up right beside them. The people walked beside them, walked through there, and it says they did it with haste. But I think it was probably a little bit different than what I imagined it. But it was a miracle. It was dry ground. It was a flood stage. And so, yes, it definitely showed that here was the God of all the earth, was in the center of the river, keeping that water at bay so that they could cross over. You know, the next time, it's not often that we, and I'm trying to think, I don't guess I ever did in my lifetime, came up on a flooded area to where I couldn't go or where I had to debate what to do. I can't remember of a situation like that. I don't expect that I'm going to have any Jordan rivers to cross as such in literally, but you and I face Jordan rivers in our life many, many times. It's maybe not a body of water, but it's a trial. It's something that we have to face. And so I want to talk about five different things that will help us navigate facing the uncertainty that's in our lives that we face constantly. The number one is to face it calmly. Psalm 37:23 reads like this: "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." Israel didn't know the direction. They had to take things one step at a time. That's the way you and I do as well. We need to go one day. We talk to each other about that. Just take it one step at a time. You know, and that's easier said than done, because we're people that we want to get it done. We want to get there. We want to get it over with. We want to see the end. But sometimes it's not the way God plans it. There's some detours. There's some things that we need to learn in the meantime, and that will help us in our life later on. So take it one step at a time. Be calm about it. We can be sure of certain things that produce calm. Number one, we're heading in the right direction. Now, if we're following God, we can have that confidence. God has a way of, through His Spirit, leading us and giving us... assurance, anyway, that we are doing and we are going where He has planned and wants us to do and go. Number two, our way has been safe up to this point. God has kept us. God has been faithful. God has provided for us to hear. So there's no need to get all up in a tizzy, but let's be calm and move as God wants us to. Any fear, panic, number three, will not change the future. You know, if it would, then things would get changed all the time, because we do panic. Sometimes we do become fearful, because maybe we've come this far and it's like, now what do? We've gone too far to turn back, but it doesn't look good to move forward either. So what do? Be still. Sometimes just stopping and doing nothing is the right thing to do, and waiting on God. That's a hard thing. It is for me, it's for most people, is to stop and wait. Because like I said, we want to make it happen. But sometimes it's not God's timing. Number two, we face it submissively. James 4:7 says, the first part of that verse says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God." Again, that's a hard one, and that's a tough one. It's one that we don't like to hear. It's something we don't like to do, is to be submissive. I have to submit. The Bible says we're to submit one to another. Wives are to submit to their husbands. We're to submit to God, and so on. And yet, in our human makeup, we want to rise up and we want to do it our way and in our time. This was a way chosen for Israel by their God. God chose this way for them to, he didn't choose, this wasn't his initial plan for them to journey all this time in the wilderness. But because of their unbelief, this is what happened. But God was still there with them. But this was the appointed time and place for them to go into the land of Canaan, the time he had appointed. If you're a child of God, this is not a way of your own appointing. God has a calling on each of our lives. God has a purpose for each of our lives. And so we need to submit to his plan and to his purpose. It may not make sense today, but 10 years from now, as you look back, if God is in it, it will make more sense than it does today. So rest in that. Change what you are reasonably able to change. There again, change is difficult for some people, harder for some than others. I'm one that likes to keep things as it is. Let's just, it worked, let's keep going. But I realize we live in a world of change, and so sometimes change is inevitable. You know what I mean? Can't say it. Change happens around us. And if we're not careful, we change with it. Not all change is bad. But let's be sure that we are trusting in God, and that is our focus, to please and be where he wants us to be. Accept as from him the things that you can't change. Yeah, very true. And may God help us to know the difference between God's, what he wants us to change, and what we want to change. Okay, the third one is face new things, face uncertain things with be compliant. James 1:22-25, it says, "But ye be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." This chapter that I just read, it's filled with a lot of commandments. As was the entire journey of the journey that they were on through the even in the wilderness, there were things that God commanded them to do this and to do that. And again, as we look at uncertain things and we decide what to do and how to go and what's the right thing, what would God have us to do? When God is leading us, let's be compliant. Let's be willing to listen. Let's be willing to listen to those that maybe are our leaders that are over us, those that we are to submit to. I'm thinking of, in our case, the thrift store, in that vision that we have of starting a store. We have a committee in charge. And so we have to put a certain amount of confidence in them, and they come up with ideas and suggestions on us moving. And so we can put input into it, but we need to be compliant as well with what is the right thing to do. Number B is hearing and heeding, or doing, are two ways of facing the unknown. In Joshua 1:16-17, actually, I think I read those already, so I won't read them again. But there again, it talks about the people are being, they said they'll be compliant with what Joshua and his leadership in this journey. So it's one thing to hear from God, it's another thing to do that. And those, again, some of these are in our human tendency is to not like to do that, because I have to bring myself under someone else and someone else's idea. And I don't like that. I rise up and I say, I want to do it my way. I think this way is better. But we won't accomplish the will of God. We need to trust people as well as trust God in their judgments until they prove that they can't be trusted. God has never proved himself to be untrustworthy, but man has. Man will fail. And we do make mistakes because we don't know the end completely yet. We have all the instruction that we could possibly need. You know, and as I thought of that, it's like, well, do we? You know what? I'd like something more written out plainly. You know, go here now, this time. Tomorrow I have an appointment at 10 o'clock to meet a person, look at a job. No questions. I know what I'm going to do. It's, if I live, I will do that. It's planned out. But God doesn't always do that. And yet, we have all the instructions we need right here to help us. As Reuben said in Sunday school, sometimes it doesn't spell it out in black and white, but the implication is there, and the principles are in the Scripture to help us and to guide us and to show us. So God doesn't have to give us any more directions than what we already have. We just have to utilize them. We must resolve to hear the word of the Lord and to do it. James says, if you're just a hearer and you don't do it, you're just like the person you go this morning, you probably looked in the mirror and you combed your hair. You turned around and left and you forgot what you looked like, so you had to go back and do it again. You know, I find myself doing that quite often, and maybe it's a habit that I should break. But I close the door and lock it at night, and before I go to bed, I go out and I check again to make sure that I closed it and locked it. Because I can't remember. I think I did, but I'm not sure. And I know that I won't be able to rest until I make sure. This time I will remember. Well, probably there's a good reason, because I know I woke up at least one morning and the door was wide open, and anybody and their brother could have walked in. Maybe they did. I didn't know it. Didn't find out. And so I am doubly careful. Not that I don't trust my neighbors, but there are people out there that I don't trust. All right. The fourth one is face it expectantly. Psalm 37, 3 through 5. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, and trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Remember, God had Israel's good in mind. He didn't take them on this journey to punish them necessarily. But he had their good in mind. And as he led them over the Jordan River, and he stood, he was in the ark. His presence was in that ark that the priest carried. And so he was there to protect them. He is out. He is here to protect you and I as well. And he wants the good for each of us as well in our lives. God has good things in store for you. Remember Jeremiah 29. I will turn to that. It's a very familiar and a favorite verse or verses for many people. It's been quoted many, many times. Joshua 29, 11 through 13. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Again, some good words to give us confidence to trust in God. You will experience the presence of the Lord in 2 Corinthians 3, 17. Paul says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That may not be completely fitting for that, and yet it does to the fact that the presence of God is with us through His Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit is present in our lives, we are at liberty, we're at peace, and we can think clearly. And so the uncertainty around us doesn't overwhelm us quite as much. The greater the trials, the greater the working of the Lord. Again, we don't like trials, but the Bible would tell us that in James 1:3, it says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And verse 4 says, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So again, it's God's will and God's purpose for us. And that we face uncertain things, do it expectantly, expecting God to help you through this and to keep you and guide you. The fifth one is face uncertainty with confidence. Can't be confidently. Excuse my throat this morning. I can't talk. Hebrews 3, 5 and 6 gives us some instructions there. It talks about Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, testifying to what would be said in the future. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house, and we are His house if we hold on to our courage and hope of which we boast. That's the NIV in that, and I like the way that brought that out. Christ is faithful, and He is a son over God's house, and we are that house. That should bring confidence in us that we can trust in God, that He would live within us, and He would think that much of us and care that much, that He's going to help us through these uncertain times. And we can do it with confidence that God is there and God is helping. God is leading and God is directing. Just as the ark went out before the people, God's presence went before them. God didn't need the people to protect Him, but He was there to protect the people. Today, as we trust in God, God doesn't need our help in so many ways that we think He does. He doesn't need us to protect Him. God is well able to take care of Himself. He's well able to take care of His creation, as He does. You know, somewhere I read recently that the sun is going to burn up. It's going to be done. Well, the Bible tells us that's going to happen. But not this wasn't where they were coming from. This was from a science view. But the number was so ridiculous that it wouldn't even cause anyone any concern. I forget how many million or billion years from now you'll have to worry about no longer the sun will shine. Well, the Bible tells us that there will be summer and winter, springtime and harvest, until God is finished with everything. So we can be confident that God is able to sustain and to protect and take care of what He has created, and that includes you and I as well. Some things to remember is the way is new to you, but not to your God. Past, present, and future are all human words. The way is new to you, but others have faced what you will face. You know, there's older folks sitting here that have gone through life, have experienced a lot of uncertain things that we younger ones are still going to learn and need to learn. So that helps us. That gives us confidence. God has been faithful. God will continue to be faithful. The presence of God goes with you. Philippians 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So remember, as you face uncertainty in your life, face it calmly, face it submissively, face it compliantly, face it expectantly, and face it confidently. In conclusion, Israel was commanded to sanctify themselves, make themselves holy. The best way we can approach any uncertainty is by recommitting ourselves to Him and to His Word. I thought of a song that our family has sung years ago, but the Cathedral Quartet sang it. Kirk Talley, I think, if you're familiar with Southern Gospel, used to sing it as well. It's Step Into the Water. And simply, I have the chorus written down here. Wade out a little bit deeper. Wet your feet in the water of His love. Step into the water. Wade out a little bit deeper. Come join angels singing praises to the Lamb of God. Sometimes in our journey of life, God would just have us take a step. You know, the waters didn't split or break or heap up until the priest stepped into the water. Sometimes things don't happen until we take the first step. And then God knows that we have confidence, we have trust in Him, and He will take it on. I realize you can take that a lot of ways, and you can take that out of proportion, and you can take it foolishly. But that's not what God will lead us. If God is leading us, then it will not be that way. We will be able to clearly, God will define clearly what He wants us to do. It may take time. We may make mistakes. But in the end, if we trust Him, and it might be a long way around, but we can trust in God that in the end it will be right and it will be good. Curtis, do you have a closing song? 333 in the hymnary. When you find that, you can stand. Father in heaven, we again are grateful to You this morning for Your faithfulness to us as Your people. God, we pray that You would forgive us where we fail to trust You and where we try our own ways. But we know better. We know that in the end it's best to follow You because it's safe. So help us, God, as we look to the future, as we face uncertain things in our lives. Help us to know, to reach out and to take Your hand, and knowing that You will protect us, You will help us, You will keep us, and You will guide us safely. I pray a blessing on each person that is here today and ask You to help them, care for them, watch over them. May You direct our steps, that we would be faithful and willing to go where You lead us and to do the things You want us to do. Again, we thank You for who You are and what You're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we sing?